Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. The dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain it. Good evening. Welcome. Isn't it wonderful that we're here together? Wonderful. Here we are once again. Wow. Great. Nice to see you. So, given that this is a time that we reflect on the past and the future, it reminds me of this kind of tension that we hold in our minds. Sometimes it's called anticipation. It's like, you know, when we're children and we're anticipating what Santa's going to leave under the Christmas tree for Christmas Day. That's one kind of anticipation. But children are innocent, right? They don't know the ways of the world the way we do. Another kind of anticipation for us adults is pretty much based on anticipating what could possibly happen in the future. And usually there's some dread or anxiety around that. How am I going to manage this? How am I going to take care of my family? How is this going to happen? All this anxiety, this kind of anticipation about the future. You keep chasing after your false idea of what will make you happy because it's out there, something to gain, instead of going inward and recognizing who you are, chasing after things. The outcome is suffering. So there's another kind of anticipation. If we turn it around inwardly, examine our own minds. And that kind of anticipation is also called the great question. Who am I? What is this? This takes a different turn for us. This gives us being grounded in the present moment. This focused energy, this anticipation is wide open. It's not expecting anything. It's based on don't know. Why is that a good thing? Well, practice it and you'll see. Practice don't know. Not this, not that. What am I? What is this? For each of us, what we can digest will be different. So what works for me may not work for you, but this basic theme of having this childlike excitement without knowing, this enthusiasm for what's next without knowing. There's all kinds of ways we can share this experience of this moment and we don't know what the next one is. So making the most of this moment, of course, presents a better future for us, doesn't it? Paying attention to our health, our well-being, doing what's appropriate, all these things that we recognize because we're asking the question. We're witnessing our own minds. I always had a mixed relationship with New Year's Eve. Yes, I want to acknowledge and be grateful for what I have and anticipate that it will continue in some form. But I don't know that for sure, do I? That's the other thing about why I think we celebrate, because we don't know. Grapple with this uncertainty of the future. Again, that's a different kind of anticipation, excitement. That kind of excitement comes from anxiety, trying to quell it, trying to suppress it, trying to make it better. Our own view of how we see our world, our anxieties, our frustrations, all the things that come up for us, that come and go. Just like last year is gone. And next year, who knows? It's not here yet. And it's so different from the kind of anticipation that says, I don't know. What is this? But of course, I wish you all well. And I want the best for you. Of course. But for me, the best for you is, you know, practicing the paramitas, being a good Buddhist practitioner in your own way, however you do it, by waking up to your own nature, therefore making it a little bit better for all of us by just being true to who you are. You know, in the new year, just be true to who you are. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution, say, I don't know. Don't know. But I'm here, paying attention. And in this moment, I'm looking at you and I'm caring about you. Anticipation. Turn it inward. Make it be about the great question. Who am I? Really?
Reflecting on, New Year's Eve is always a funny one. And I have had some very strange experiences in the history, and it's such a made up celebration over a number. You know, the world went round its orbit, and it's back to where it was. But other than that, really, what's the significance? You know? So,
yeah.
And then I've had some crazy situations where, it was quite life threatening, or at least it appeared to be at the time on New Year's one time. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a mixed thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
As you say, it's a sort of quite contrived, really. Everybody feeling like they must celebrate and go out and do things that they shouldn't, if they thought in the right minds about it. But hey, but because of that, I guess there's a good side to it too. And then you can have your reflections and ponder these things. But yeah,
it's all good. The opportunity to express some gratitude to
people, that's there too.
And that, you know, you're glad to have them in your life, and you know, you can use it that way.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and then there's the whole thing with the Scottish, and they have it's to them it's even more important perhaps than Christmas. You know, they have a whole sense of tradition that goes back, Hogmanay and the rest of it, and the first footing and all those things, and they are quite wonderful sort of aspects of a celebration. You know, they look to wishing each other luck, and there's all sorts of ideas around that, and what it holds for the future, or things thinking about kin and family and fuel. Fuel's a big part of the celebration, so I guess I get that too. It's not to say it's all wrong, but sometimes I wonder.
Yeah, I have that going on too.
Yep.
Well, I wanted to ask you something. You're talking about don't know, right? And then you were also talking about conspiracy theory. Technically speaking, doesn't conspiracy theory come from the place of don't know?
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
But in a sense, like a lot of the stuff people talk about, like, I'm surrounded by a lot of people who are kind of in that world. Mm-hmm. And their whole thing is like, you know, voter fraud. It happened because it always happens. Or the idea of, you know, it's like there was this plan against Trump all along. And everybody seems to be like, it's very plausible. And I'm wondering if they're taking the don't know route, like, don't know, maybe, right? I mean, isn't that kind of a similar thing?
No, I'm sorry.
when I say
don't know, it has nothing to do with intellect or thinking. You're not thinking don't know. You're manifesting don't know.
Okay. That's way different. Okay.
Yeah, the kind of don't know that they're doing, that's called ignorance.
It's too much thinking.
It's a lot of thinking. It's a lot of ignorance. It's a lot of assumptions. It's a lot of. It's making.
Intuition, using my intuition. That is a better guide for me than my intellect.
Yes.
My intellect will take me down all those rabbit holes. But my intuition, for the most part, serves me better. And when you were speaking about the New Year's and anticipatory anxiety, I started to think about when I used to try cases, how I would get into a different mode, and a lot of other attorneys that I spoke to who did this understood what I was talking about. And it was like a hyperactive state of being where all my senses were more finely attuned. It was kind of like battle mode. I had to be prepared to handle situations that I didn't anticipate, because you can't control everything that's going on, even though you try to anticipate what problems are going to arise, but you can't possibly. Abilities, my senses, I was hearing more sharply, and I was thinking more clearly, and everything was in sync. Now, that didn't always happen, obviously, but it was exhausting, on the other hand. And so I felt like I couldn't function on that level after a while. What practice meditating has done for me is kind of evened out the level at which I'm functioning. I feel like I'm now more prepared just to deal with whatever life's contingencies arise. Like, I'm less likely to get knocked off course, and I'm less likely to be, thrown into a situation that I'm not prepared to deal with. I kind of have a feeling that whatever happens, I'm going to be better able to handle it because of my practice. That's kind of given me better bearings to go forward because I've accepted better the idea that I'm not in control of anything.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. The thing about the heightened senses at the trial. That's like the caged animal. That's like the fight or flight survival mode. That's when all the senses are heightened. And that's why there's burnout. And that's why you can't keep it up, because you're burning up your fuel. Now, there's another way, and that's what you're talking about, your practice. And that way, you're not burning anything up. You're not using up anything. You're not exhausting yourself trying to stay present. You just are. And you just naturally do what is in front of you that you need to do. Say, act, or not act, whatever it is. From an awakened point of view, it's nothing to gain and nothing to lose. There's just what's appropriate in this moment. So there's nothing invested in winning or losing. The only investment you have is, what is this? Another way to say it for me is being really alive, very intimate with your surroundings and your situation, to the point where you're not missing a thing. but it's not effort. It's not like, if I don't do this, I'll die. It's not anxiety. It's not anxiousness or fight or flight or, you know, survival mode. It's presence. It's something that we all have. If you have a goal, I guess you could say that's the goal, to be present and awake and intimate with life just as it is. And there's a great deal of joy that can be experienced and peace when you let go of all that and you're just present. I think ultimately we just want to be present to our lives just as they are. You know, when you're feeling really down and out and stuck, the best thing to do is say, how can I help? Get out of your stuff. How can I help? You know, look to someone else to help them or something. Clean the toilet, wash your sheets, do something. Get out of yourself and do something that's, you know, effective for moving through that stuck place. Our practice helps us with that because we're a lot less likely to get stuck. We can see it coming, and we can also see everything else that's going on around us, and there's something else that needs attention, no doubt, other than feeling sorry for ourselves or being angry or whatever it is. So our retreat for January is scheduled. I haven't sent it out to everybody yet, but it's on the website. People can sign up for it already if they want. And weather permitting, we're going to start at the beach. And I'm leaving it open-ended. Nobody's required to be there all day. You can come for as long as you want. So you can come and go. The Zoom session are going to be password instead of waiting room. So you can just come in, go out, come in, however it works for you best. But I would encourage you to sit as much as possible and really, you know, get into the retreat, enjoy it, be it, let it be a pause in your life so you can have the energy to go about what's next after that. So that's coming up in January. Well, again, thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Enjoyed seeing you and being with you.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, likewise.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.